Can you connect to my iPad, please? Is it connected? Good. Many of us heard of the term life happens, right? Life happens when you discover that you have illness, when you suddenly lost your work, your job. Life happens when one of your family members just passed away. But life also happens around us, the world events. Recently, we are very unsettled, especially people who come from Hong Kong. It's daily riots and unrest. When we look around the society, we see moral declines. We see another election coming up, and politicians are making all sorts of promises which we all know that very soon will be broken. The world seems to be out of control. When life happens, we sometimes bring us very downcast, and it seems like everything is in chaos. But in today's scripture, Matthew 28, I find comfort and strength, and I would like to share with you the strength come from living under the authority of King Jesus. First of all, from this passage that we just read, living under the authority of King Jesus will cast away doubts. When we read the passage just now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. It is very odd to see that passage. It says they went to worship Jesus, but some doubted. But who are these some doubted? Are they referring to the 11 disciples? Or are they referring to some other people? And what are the some anyway? Bible scholars have hummed and yummed and examined this for a long time and give different explanations. The most probably that I find is reasonable is the sum refers to other people other than the 11 disciples. Because if we look back at the same chapter, 28 verse 10, Jesus was talking about, met the woman who went to the tomb to visit Jesus, try to anoint the body, but they find that Jesus was gone. And then the woman, as he was instructed by angels, that he says, your master has risen. Go to tell the news to the disciples. In verse 8, the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples. Verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. So Jesus had instructed the woman to go to tell the brothers to in Galilee. Now, I want to remind you that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected in Jerusalem. But Jesus, out of his whole life, the majority of the time and the ministry was around, actually, Galilee. I forgot my laser pointer. But Galilee is near... Galilee is in the northern part, near the Sea of Galilee. And Jerusalem is closer to the southern part of Dead Sea, okay? So it was quite a distance away. Jesus spent most of his time ministering in Galilee. And actually, a city called Capernaum is on the shore of Galilee. It's actually his ministry headquarters. So Jesus performed a lot of miracles. Jesus did a lot of teachings, like Sermon on the Mount, performed miracles, raised a widow's son in Nain, close to Nazareth. Jesus did a lot of teachings over there. So a lot of people in Galilee, came from Galilee, know Jesus. So it is natural Jesus told the woman who says, tell my people in Galilee that if they go back to Galilee, they will find me. So the sum could refer to the group of the multitude of brothers and sisters who have been ministered by Jesus, but yet have not encountered the resurrected Jesus. Because in the Bible, everyone who encountered the resurrected Lord came to worship him. The woman, the disciples, Thomas, everyone who come encounter face to face with the resurrected Lord worshiped him. So there will be some who did not see Jesus. So they received the news of the resurrected Lord. Oh, Jesus has risen. And they doubted, just like Thomas, who never seen Jesus. But when Jesus appeared to him and he says, look, this is my wounded hand. This is my pierced rib. Come and touch it. And that Thomas believed and worshipped him. So when we come to see Jesus as the risen Lord, it casts away doubt. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So what is this authority? Before the resurrection, Jesus had authority to forgive sins, to cast away demons, to perform miracles, and even to command storms and seas to calm down. So what is this authority now that is given to Jesus? After the resurrection, it is the authority is the cosmic universal authority, controlling the destiny of the world and human history. It is the authority that is fulfilled by the book of Daniel. That in the Old Testament, Prophet Daniel prophesied a vision. That in a vision at night, he saw before him a person like a son of man, coming with the cloud of heaven. He approaches the Ancient of Days, who's God the Father, and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is the one that will never be destroyed. This is the authority that is given to Jesus. That is a fulfillment of Jesus claiming sovereignty over the entire world, not a local region. And it's also a continuation at the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 talk about a scroll. Elder John, in his vision, he saw a scroll. In the entire chapter of chapter 5, talk about there was a scroll about the world, the future of the world, that is sealed by seven seals. Okay, this scroll, you know, in the olden time, all the books, drawings, and everything is in a scroll. And this scroll cannot be opened because it was stuck with seven seals, wax seals, okay? And then nobody, in John's mission, he says, nobody can open this scroll. And then he was crying. He cried, oh! And then an angel says, the Lion of Judah is able to do that. And he, in the vision, he saw one that looks like a slain lamb. And the scripture says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and peoples and nations. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. This scroll that contains the destiny of the world at the end times was able only Jesus, the slain Messiah, can open this scroll. So Jesus was given this authority. And that authority is to control the destiny of the entire world. Therefore, even though life happens, sometimes when we look at the real world around us, things seem to be out of control. But I'm deeply convinced that the Bible talks about Jesus given all authorities on heavens and earth, that he is in control. The world is indeed in his hand, and we do not need to worry. Second, living under the authority of Jesus gives us purpose in life. Jesus told the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is the great commission given to the church. And because it involves everyone, it is also our life commission. Jesus has entrusted us with this great job, is to go and make disciples of all nations. And it is given to the entire church, to every followers of Jesus. So it is our response, is to respond in obedience. How to fulfill Jesus' commission. Otherwise, it becomes the great omission instead of the great commission. Like the famous saying of Dallas Willard, the great omission. The commission is to make disciples of all nations. And making disciples is not, notice, it's not just make converts. Our Lord Jesus called us to make disciples. Disciples are followers of Jesus whose life is being transformed by Jesus. And Jesus tells them it is disciples of all nations. It's not just in Israel, not just Chinese, but all nations. Because all nations, the whole world is under the sovereignty of our Lord. He has authority in heaven and on earth. And go baptize and teaching them to obey are the process. The main command is to make disciples. The process is to go to baptize them and to teach them to obey Jesus. So our response is to go. Yes, when we hear about the word go, it might mean go overseas. But it also means to go out of our comfort zone. To go to our friends at school or at work. Go is to for us to take initiative to share the gospel, to try to make your friends to become disciples of Jesus Christ. And baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Notice this is talk about three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the word name is singular. So this is referring to the Holy Trinity, the triunity of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, but under one God. Why do we baptize them? Why did Jesus ask us to baptize them? To baptize a person is to bring that person to belong under the name of God, the triune God and his community. Jesus wants us to make people to come to belong to him, to his family, to his community. And to teach them, teaching them to obey everything. Everything is include both Jesus' teaching and also Jesus' model in life. So in other words, we go, we take initiative to share the gospel and to bring people into family of God and to teach them the teaching of Jesus and also the life Jesus lived, to have their life transformed, to become more like Jesus. And this is the purpose of our life. This is the purpose of every one of us. We need to think of our life, how much we have fulfilled in obedience of this great commission of Jesus. For those of us at school, especially in a public school, you know, you are in a very privileged position. For those of you high school students, you know, you have the way to share with your friends something that I, as a pastor, cannot do. You know, outsiders of the school cannot initiate Bible study. We cannot initiate prayer groups. I attend a consulting committee of the Peel School Board of Education. You know, the students can initiate prayer meetings, or Friday prayer meetings, but outsiders cannot. The students can rally together and says, I want to have a Bible study, as long as they have a teacher who become your sponsor, then the school is under obligation to provide that to us. A church pastor cannot go into a public school and say, I want to hold the Bible study class. No, it has to be from within the students. And it has to be with a teacher who sponsors it. If you have a group of students who request that, and a teacher who sponsors that, then the school, the principal, have obligation to provide that. So everyone, you have your sphere of influence. And Jesus' command is to go outside your comfort zone, into your life circles, into your circle of influence. For some of us, with this commission, our career takes on a new perspective. Our job is not just to make money. Money is important, but our job is to see whether we can fulfill the commission of God. Whether we are a Christian accountant, we are a Christian plumbers, we are first of all a Christians, then we do our work to glorify God. Our career takes on an eternal perspective. Our relationship with others takes on a new perspective. We will have the Great Commission idea in our life. Our marriage becomes a shared life with our fellow disciples. When I counsel, when I do premarital counsel, I tell the new couple, look at your partner as a partner in ministry. God called you together is to build up one another so that both of you will be more and more like Christ. And both of you can help one another in God's kingdom. The marriage is not just for your happiness. It is important, but ultimately, it is your marriage is to glorify God. So living under the authority of King Jesus gives us purpose in life. Today, many people do not have purpose in life. But Jesus already told us, this is your life purpose. Your life is to go and make disciples. Invite them. Bring them into the family of God. And teach them so that they are more and more like Christ. And thirdly, living under the authority of King Jesus gives us access and power from God. The last verse, it says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. I am with you always. There was a story about a person who go to visit the White House. I suppose it's many years ago. Because he was trying to get into the the inner circle of the inner part of the White House, you know, and then obviously the safety special agent with the Secret Service said, no, you are not allowed. So this tourist was quite upset. And then he saw a man who just walked past into the inner quarters without any person restricting him. So he said, how about that man? You know, you don't allow me, and then you let this man in. And then he said, oh, that's the President of the United States. Oh, okay, well, I guess he can go in. And then another person, he saw a little child, and then walked by, and the Secret Service allowed him. Oh, how about that boy? You know, you let the boy in. Secret Service says, oh, that's the President's son. And then a few minutes later, he says, another guy passed by. He just showed a badge to the person, to the guard, and then was allowed to go in. And they said, how about that person? And they said, oh, that's the President's minister of whatever, okay? So this is just a simple story to talk about, you know, when you belong to the President, and you work for the President, then you are allowed access, right? It's as simple as that. And here, it reminds us that when we work for God, and we are God's children, God promised to be with us, to give us access. Jesus' name is Emmanuel, God with us. You see, the salvation plan can be summed up as, you know, when Adam and Eve was chased out of Garden of Eden. The great salvation plan is God wants to restore humanity back to Him so that He is with human beings and human beings belongs to God. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Throughout the entire Bible, God yearns for people, yearns to dwell among people. In the Old Testament, God tells Moses to build a tabernacle. Tabernacle is a tent so that God dwell among His people. Later on, when they settled down in the Promised Land, they built a temple. The temple is God dwell among men. And in the New Testament, Jesus, God sent Jesus. Jesus' name is Emmanuel, God with us. So, living under the authority of Jesus gives us access. And also the power from God. So how can we utilize this access and power? First of all, with Jesus' authority, we can demolish strongholds. I want to introduce you a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you turn to the Bible on 2 Corinthians, Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-5. Once we have the power of Jesus, verse 3-5, it says, For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments of every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. With the power of Jesus, the Apostle Paul reminds us, we can demolish strongholds. I think for today, a lot of peoples are under the bondage of strongholds. What does strongholds mean to you? Strongholds are something that is binding you, losing freedom. So if we think of strongholds, is internet addiction a stronghold? Yeah, right? How about alcoholism? Stronghold, yes. How about workaholism? Some people just need to work. How about pride? Is pride a stronghold? Some people cannot take any criticism. If someone criticizes him or her, the person just goes with it because of pride. You know, you just cannot talk to that person anything negative. How about ungrateful spirit? Do you have people that somehow nothing will please this person? No, everything you help or do for this person will always result in something negative. But here, Apostle Paul says, we demolish, use divine power to demolish strongholds. And secondly, with Jesus' authority, we can pray proactively. Recently, I come across an article that says Christians often pray too reactively. We pray for, you know, people who are sick and pray God for healing. When people have an accident, we pray for healing and things like that. But we always seem to be reacting. But Paul set an example for us to pray proactively. In Ephesians, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, not just when you need something. You initiate something, the article says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So here, with the power of Jesus, under the authority of Jesus, we pray before something happens, something bad happens. Pray for the good things. Pray for God's reign be in the city. Pray for drug problem and pornography or sex trade would not have a stronghold, would not have a foothold among our city. So pray before something even bad to happen. So here, it says, we have the power, but quite often we forgot to use it. We always pray when something bad happens, and then we pray for deliverance. But here, Apostle Paul said, pray for boldness that I can preach and attack the enemy's territory. Fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for friends' conversion to Jesus. Two weeks ago, in our young adult fellowship, we said, make a prayer. Pray for radical generosity. That was our fellowship. But after 2 weeks later, the leader says, how many of you pray for radical generosity? Because the premise was, if you pray that, God will answer you. But unfortunately, when we asked how many pray for radical generosity, I think only one hand showed up. So it seems that it's not because of God do not work among us, but we just do not pray enough. We do not pray enough. Is that right, Kevin? The two Kevins? Rachel? We ask for, pray for radical generosity. Somehow we forgot, right? Yeah. Anyway, so let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are King. You are Master of the universe. You own everything. All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to you. And you have commissioned us to be your special agent, to spread the gospel, to tell the good news. Lord, yet we often fail to use this authority for your glory, for your purpose. So please forgive us. May today's message remind us that we are your agents in this world, and you have given us authority, and you have promised your presence among us, so we do not need to be afraid. So bless us in whatever capacity, whatever role that you have given us, so that in our role we can fulfill your commission. We pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.